Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our worship service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are you ready to move on in your relationship with Jesus Christ? That's a question that Jesus asked Peter after Easter. It's a question that he asks us. We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in your word we are continually reminded that we can always have another chance, that you're willing to grant us the forgiveness of our sins, and that you can use us in spite of our unworthiness. We pray that your apostle Peter may be a real example for us on this Lord's Day, and that we may realize that as you forgave him, empowered him, you also used him to bring the message of Jesus Christ to many people. May what was done in Peter's life be done in the lives of all of us who listen. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God that is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, "Follow me." here in the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. A friend of mine recently left a large medical practice. He had been a successful physician. When I saw him not long ago, I asked, "Why did you do it? Seemed to me like you had everything going for you." "Well," he said, "I only had a partial picture of what being a physician was like when I entered medical school. There were a lot of positives. I knew that if I could make it through and get a good practice, it would be financially lucrative. And that would mean that I could live in a big house, drive beautiful cars, travel far and wide, and do many other things. I also knew that the physician carried a certain amount of prestige. He was a respected individual in the community. He was sought out. He was praised. They really could say nothing bad, it seemed, about that physician, man or woman. However, he said, when I got into the midst of all this, medicine was exactly what I thought, but there were also some negatives. For example, there were demands on my time that I never believed would be possible. During those weekends and nights when I was on call, my time simply was not my own. The clock would tick, the alarm would ring, and I would have to leave my family night after night after night. I also learned that while you were often praised, you were even more often criticized. People expected that you could take a body that was seriously ill and bring it right back to health under all conditions, and that was not possible. I also learned the tremendous responsibility that I had in being a physician. I had in my hands the lives of fathers and mothers, and their children needed them. I had to do everything possible in order to save that life. So he went on, and I said to him, well, didn't you know that before you went into medicine? Oh, he said, of course I did. I had many people tell me that it would not be an easy life, and I had seen that from observations, especially during the days that I was in my residency and seeing the hours that these doctors had to put in. But he said, you know, you're so enamored with the other side of it that you forget what it is really going to cost you. Perhaps, he said, I was so emotionally thrilled about being a doctor that I just did not give the negatives very much thought. Well, that's the person leaving the medical profession. Sometimes I wonder, friend, if we really have given thought to what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. As I read through the Gospels and I listen to the Lord Jesus, again and again, he is sending out a mighty warning. Take up your cross and follow me. And he tells about the difficult times that those who follow him as his disciples are going to have. In our text today, it is after Easter. Our Lord Jesus had appeared to his disciples two other times, and now they were by the seashore, and Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. John Brokaw, a great preacher of the Baptist denomination, has entitled this sermon, A Cookout for a Dropout. Well, Peter was really the dropout. There's no question about that. And they were having a cookout. Now, when breakfast was over, then our Lord Jesus drew near to Peter and said, I want to have a visit with you. He went on to say, I'm concerned about you, Peter. I love you. I know that you're a person of real ability. But I have a question. Are you really ready to move on, not just as a follower, but as a disciple, taking an aggressive role in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to this world? Now, there were many positive things that Peter had experienced in his life with the Lord Jesus. For example, his brother Andrew, if you'll recall, brought Peter to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, this is my brother. And he said, oh, yes, and we're going to call you Peter. In other words, it was quite an honor to have the Son of God and the Savior of the world telling you that he's going to call you Peter. You're on a first name basis. Now then, it went along for a while, and one can only assume that during that period of time, our Lord and Peter got pretty well acquainted. So one day when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, there were Andrew and Peter. Here came the official call. Come, Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now they would be one of the leaders in Christ's army that was growing, and it would be prestige. On a day, for example, where Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, he would be pointed out as one of the chief of the apostles. How great, how honored that he would be to be a part of the kingdom of God. And if that kingdom were to come on this earth, and that's what they assumed, then certainly there would be a very great prestigious position for him there. It was also a privilege to walk with the Lord Jesus and to be with him during those 3 years to see all that he was doing. They loved to see him perform his miracles, to take a poor body that was sick and to restore it to health. And even more than that, to see a dead man restored to life. They loved it when they saw Jesus feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They must have loved it when they went into Jericho and saw Jesus ministering to a person like Zacchaeus, seeing his life come unshackled from all the guilt and wrong that was found therein, and to see that person become a new individual. Oh, there were so many of these experiences, day in and day out, for 3 years. And then finally, Jesus said, it's examination day, and they were at Caesarea in Philippi. Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter was the first one to reply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hearing that, our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but you are Peter, and on this rock," meaning his confession, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Wow, he had received a compliment from Jesus. What a marvelous thing it was that he was a disciple of Jesus. Look at all of the positive things that were coming his way. But then there were also the negative things. And Peter did not really want to take a look at them. Jesus had told them in his teaching that they would have to take up their cross and follow him. On another occasion, he said, "The foxes have dens where to lay at night, and the birds have their nests in the trees. But the Son of Man and those who follow him can be without those places to sleep." There were a lot of times that Jesus was trying to tell them, "I want you to have the whole picture. I want you to know that being one of my followers is going to be the greatest thing in the world. You're always going to have me present with you, and when you die, I'm going to take you home to live in heaven with me. But I want you to know that while you're here, it can be very, very difficult." When the chips were finally down, Peter began to realize what Jesus was saying. For example, one time Jesus announced to them that now he was going up to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer and die, and that they would all leave him. You remember what it was that Peter said, "They may all leave you, Lord, but not I." But he did. And you recall that night when he was asked, "Aren't you one of his followers?" It was Peter who said, "Not once, but three times, I don't know him." When Jesus was dead, the disciples had all fled, and Peter said, "I will never flee away from you." But he had gone too. So as Peter saw his denial, as Peter saw his running away from Christ in an hour when the Lord needed him the most, then it was that he realized that he was hardly up to it. That, in other words, it was one thing for him to learn from Jesus, to observe, to be on the receiving end. But when he was asked to stand firm and to give for the Lord, then he fell short. So now they're by the sea, and they've had breakfast. Our Lord draws close to Peter, and he says to him, "I want to have a visit with you, Peter." And this is a question. Are you up to being my disciple? Are you ready to move on with me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times he asked him that. I love what Roger Fredrickson, a Baptist minister, has said. What Jesus was really saying was this. Do you love me enough, Peter, to feed the young ones in the kingdom? Do you love me enough, Peter, to discipline the stubborn ones in the kingdom? Do you love me enough, Peter, to tenderly watch over the older ones who are in the kingdom? Do you love me? You saw me die on the cross, Peter, and the day will come when if you follow me, you will die on the cross too. Now that's something for you to think about, Peter. I don't want to give you a quick sell job. I don't want you to come back someday and say, "Well, they never spelled out that part of the Christian faith." But hearing all of that, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you, and I want to follow you." And the history books show that Peter did just that. For he was instrumental in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to thousands of people in his day. And it is reported that at the end of his day, he died as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Christ said, "Like you saw me forgive others' sins, I forgive you, Peter." If you are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will accomplish great things in bringing the faith to this world. But Jesus could well have gone on to say, "All I need to hear, Peter, and I need to hear it from you, is this, that you are on the way to doing great things for God." And Peter to that said, "I'm ready, God. I am ready. I have realized that I cannot do it by myself, but if you will empower me by your Holy Spirit, I'll give it my all. Do you think he ever sinned after that? Yeah, every day. Daily he sinned because he was a sinner. His nature had not changed. A disciple of Jesus is not without sin. But daily, and this is the gospel, friend, daily the Lord Jesus Christ came to Peter and he forgave him. And he strengthened him. And he said, go on now. In spite of the weakness, Jesus Christ can take the disciple, make him an ambassador for the kingdom of God, and make his appeal to this world through sinful but redeemed men and women. Now that's a great message. It comes from this text. There are many who are Christians. And by Christians, I mean those who trust Jesus Christ for their salvation. But not all Christians are disciples in the biblical sense of the word. Is that a big statement? If you're a Christian, don't you have to be a disciple? You grow to become a disciple. And that's why I like this term that is used more now than at least it was in the first years of my ministry. We not only evangelize, but we disciple. We not only introduce a person to Jesus Christ, but when by the power of the Holy Spirit, this person receives Christ, we walk with him or her until they grow up to be full, mature men and women of God. I tell you, friends, that what the Lord Jesus needs today is a disciple. He does not necessarily need people just to join a church for the sake of joining an organization, but he needs those who will walk with him and even suffer with him and not just be on the receiving end. Don't you think it's time for us in the church, clergy and laity alike, to really ask ourselves the question, isn't it time to move on to a deeper relationship with the Lord? Isn't it time to not only enjoy all the blessings that we receive from him, but isn't it time to move on and to be willing to pay the price for what it costs to be a disciple of the Lord? These are the big questions that have to be asked. And I tell you, my friend, he's asking them to us today. There are so many who are willing to be on the receiving end, but not caring to reach out with a message of the Savior. Christ Jesus asks us to reach out. And that's hard to do. That means that I identify myself with Jesus Christ when it's going against the grain of society. That means that I can stand with some of my dearest friends who will ridicule me and not love me for doing it, but will say, I have to stand with Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way. And so the question then on his second Sunday after Easter is this. Are you ready to move on in your relationship with Jesus Christ? That was the question that Jesus asked Peter. And that's the question that he asked every single member of his church on this Sunday. Are you ready to move on, not simply as a believer, but as a disciple, bringing Christ to the world. Amen. receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. Please include some information about yourself. We would like to know more about each member of our listening family. As a thank you, Christian Crusaders will send all listeners who respond a booklet of biblical passages titled God's Love Never Fails. This booklet shares insights about God's love from Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, and others. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.